Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Super Bowl getting closer. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here at FS1. Hope all the people in the Midwest who are dealing with that awful weather, that frightening weather, that dangerous weather, will try to warm things up today with especially hot takes. How about that? Joy Taylor joining us. Just hang in there. That weather is, my wife's from the Midwest. We were talking about that last night. Just awful, awful, frightening weather. People, pets.
Yes, it's bad. My family's all in Pittsburgh, which isn't as bad as Chicago and some of the other cities in the West.
Brutal.
I'm thinking of you.
Yeah,
stay
we are.
Safe.
Yeah, be safe. It's a great part of the country, big part of the country for football, certainly. But with this time, this Super Bowl, we got a West Coast and an East Coast. But I want to talk about something that's interesting. So, the NBA yesterday did something, and it's just a crock. You know I've been pro player forever. There's terrible billionaires. They move teams all over the place. I mean, Cleveland before LeBron and after is a poorly run business. Doesn't matter if it's an NBA team or a waste management business. Sometimes it feels like both. It's poorly run. So yesterday, the NBA fines Anthony Davis and his agent $50,000. Ooh. For publicly requesting a trade. By the way, the NBA media, guys like me, ask players all the time if they want to stay somewhere. So a player can't talk about, like, his future. Now think about this. The NBA encourages its star players to talk about politics, to talk about social issues, talk about the president. They encourage that. But if a player talks about hoops, there's a $50,000 fine. Well, then are you going to make sure that NBA media doesn't ask LeBron or Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard about where do you want to play? You don't quite understand this. Okay, I read this morning LeBron could get fined for tampering. Really? Don't you encourage all your stars to go to social media? LeBron's on social media all the time. Isn't that the strength of the NBA? They're better than the NFL on social media. But you're going to fine them as long as they tweet about the president, social issues, policy. But if you tweet about a basketball player, we're going to fine you $50,000. This is a charade. It's a con job. There's always been two stories in sports. The one league sell you and then the truth. This is a con job. The NBA loves this. Adam Silver absolutely loves this. That's why the fine's only $50,000. $50,000 for a major agent and a superstar in the NBA, that is tip money for the rest of us. By the way, do you think it's a coincidence? I mean, Joy and I have been in this business a while, that the Anthony Davis, LeBron Laker thing broke at 7 a.m. Eastern Super Bowl week on Monday. So as all the sports radio stations in America, the 6,000 sports radio stations, are jumping into their NFL talk, what do you know? The story broke at 7 a.m. on Monday of Super Bowl week and flooded every show. You think that's a coincidence? This story could have broken on Saturday, could have broken last week. It just so happened to break on morning drive, 7 a.m. Wednesday. Okay, this is the big con. The NBA loves this. You don't think the NBA loves? LeBron's been out for a month. The ratings have been sagging since he left. You don't think they like LeBron, Laker, Anthony Davis talk, Kyrie to the Laker talk? They love this stuff. This, in America today, NFL is king, and the season's winding down. NBA's number two. And it's very good on social media, and its stars drive the league. NFL is kind of driven by the system, kind of the brand, the shield. NBA is driven by its stars. You don't think Adam Silver loves that his stars are getting talked about on Super Bowl week? That I'm not leading my show? Adam Silver's told me before. He listens. He watches all this stuff. He takes the temperature of the room. Sports is all about real estate. And February, the NFL has been encroaching on the NBA's real estate for years. They've moved around free agency. They can move combines and drafts to get in the way of the NBA. This is the NBA firing back an arrow. Oh, it's Super Bowl week. Oh, it's Super Bowl week. Let's just make sure stories get out. Listen, this is not dangerous for the league. What they're doing is they're patronizing New Orleans. Adam Silver and the league are going, shame on you guys. Shame on you, Rich Paul. Shame on you, Anthony Davis. That is terrible. Here's a $50,000 fine. You're just patronizing New Orleans, which has had, let's be honest, a really crappy week. Between the call in the Rams game and Anthony Davis leaving, it ain't great for New Orleans and the Benson family. So this is patronizing them, you know, saying, patting them on the back. We got your back on this, those bad star players. You think it's bad for the NBA that Anthony Davis joins LeBron in Los Angeles? Come on. And it's also not dangerous for the league. Basketball from AAU to college basketball to the NBA has always been about a handful of stars controlling the league. The NBA has always been about dynasties. The Celtics, Bill Russell, 111. And then you went into the Lakers, Jerry West and Wilt and Gail Goodrich. And then you had, you know, the Pistons and then MJ and then Shaq and Kobe. And now we have the Warriors. The Miami Heat thing was like very, very close to a dynasty. Two titles, 4 years. It's good. The only problem for the NBA is when the dynasty's boring like the Spurs dynasty was. But basketball at the AAU level, three best high school basketball players in America last year all chose Duke. This is what basketball players do. Stop watching the movie Hoosiers. It doesn't exist. That was a great movie. I loved Hoosiers. That's not what real basketball is about today. So star players moving. I'll tell you what's dangerous for the NBA. It's not stars going to big brands. What is absolutely dangerous for the NBA is seven teams were tanking last year. That's not good. This year, by March, you're going to have about 10 tanking trying to get that kid at Duke, Zion Williamson. You already got about five teams actively tanking. That may double in about a month. That's a problem for the NBA. This is great, great news for the NBA. And a $50,000 fine is a complete con job. It's pretending they care about New Orleans. All right, let's talk some football. Tom Brady is 5-3 in Super Bowls. Let's say he loses. He's 5-4. Is he no longer the GOAT? Let's say he wins and goes 6-3. Joy, is he even GOATier? He's the greatest GOAT.
He is the greatest of the GOATs.
Like, he'll be the GOATiest GOAT. Let's say Belichick wins and goes 6-3. He is the best coach. Oh, wait, we know it. He loses and goes in 5-4. He's still the best coach in the history of football. This Super Bowl has no impact on the Patriots outside of the joy of winning. It will not affect Belichick's legacy. It has no effect on Tom Brady's legacy. Best coach, best quarterback. Philip Rivers in this game, that would affect it. But I'll tell you, if the Rams win this game, it is a complete game changer for a lot of people. Let's start with Sean McVay, 33-year-old, head coach, Super Bowl champ, beats the reigning American domestic football genius. It would be massive for Sean McVay. Sean McVay goes into an elite group. He's the next Bill Walsh. He's the next Bill Belichick on the offensive side of the ball. Number two, Jared Goff. Kind of looks like Brady, both from Northern California. Brady grew up idolizing Montana, Goff watching Brady, West Coast kids, genius head coach. Oh, Jared Goff is the closest thing potentially over the next 15 years to Tom Brady. It would be huge for the city of Los Angeles. This has always been a Lakers town. Football is still a growing business in Los Angeles. The Dodgers are established. USC football, Lakers are established. This would be a movement. This would be pulling people away. Super Bowls have a way of changing cities. It would also be number four, big for other stars in this league. the Rams went heavily into free agency and into big diva names. Historically, that was dumb guy territory. Smart GMs did not do that. But for guys like Le'Veon Bell, guys on the market, it is big for players. And let me add this. If the NFL had to pick a side who wins this game, they'd want Los Angeles. About 5 or 6 years ago, I worked at the other place. I was told by an executive the NFL wanted to become more entertainment-driven. They understood they were now a television show more than a sport. Los Angeles is the entertainment capital of North America. Since I heard that 6 years ago, Vegas is going to have a team. Los Angeles has two teams. They're moving the NFL Combine here. They've okay and completed about 60% of a new stadium, and Super Bowls and the NFL Network will take place in that stadium. This would be good for the league. McVay, Goff, City of LA, free agency as a whole, NFL. This game means nothing for Tom Brady's legacy, absolutely nothing for Belichick, but it is a game changer if the Rams win.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, so like we know certain people are like trash talkers. Muhammad Ali, it was almost poetry. And Gary Payton is like the great trash talker. Michael Jordan. Larry Bird was a massive trash talker. Most athletes talk a little trash. Belichick is the great trash mumbler. So I thought this was trolling yesterday. So somebody asked him about Aaron Donald of the Rams. And remember who people consider the best football player ever. And when you look at all-time lists, Brady's number one. Lawrence Taylor, who Belichick coached, you know, is somewhere in the top 10. Here's what Belichick said yesterday.
Aaron Donald's a great football player. I wouldn't put anybody ahead of Lawrence Taylor. I can't put anybody ahead of Taylor. Taylor's the best I've ever seen. Certainly the best I've ever coached. And I just wouldn't put anybody ahead of him.
Okay. It's one thing to say when you have what many believes the best player ever to play football. Certainly the most impactful. Lawrence Taylor is the best player I've ever had. But then to dig into it and go, certainly the best I've ever coached. Now, remember the word certainly. That's what we call in our business a trigger word. Certainly means obviously. You'd be stupid to even argue it. It's not even comparable. Certainly, if I said Harvard's the best Ivy League school, in my opinion. All right. If I said Harvard is certainly the number one Ivy League school, that's a shot at Yale and Princeton. That's personal. If I said with my wife present, man, that's the best lasagna I've ever had, that's a little dig. But if I said it's certainly the best lasagna ever cooked for me, knowing she takes great pride in cooking, like Brady takes great pride in being great, that is trolling. That is, you could have just stopped best player I've ever had. Certainly the best player I've ever coached. Isn't that a little 4 days out from the Super Bowl? You don't think that's a little, this is what Belichick does. Remember Tom Brady's birthday? You know, Tom's just a player. This is the psychology. Bill Parcells was great at this. Joe Torre was great at this. Phil Jackson was great at this. Nick Saban's great at this. Red Auerbach, you can go back to the great coaches of all time. Greg Popovich, getting everybody in his camp to believe it's a unit, take less money. Psychology is a huge part. I mean, go back to Vince Lombardi's quotes about football. When you're asking guys to run through a wall, 18 games, preseason, postseason, do your job, take a pay cut. Football's hard. Football practice is hard. You got to keep players motivated. I mean, this week, Belichick even trash mumbled Wade Phillips. Do you remember that? Remember that one?
I've certainly changed a lot in the last 30 years, schematically. Wade really hasn't. I mean, he really hasn't. So you got to give him credit for that. That system's lasted. I mean, really, this is part of his dad's system that he's developed and moved, you know, adapted and developed there. And I think that's a real credit to what he put together 30 years ago.
You went back to high school and said, man, it's a credit to you. You haven't changed at all. Is that really a compliment or a shot?
He's got mumble bars. It's also kind of a double shot because not only did he say he didn't change his system, he said it's his daddy's system.
He's a trash mumbler.
You don't even have your own system.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I've never had Danny Amendola on the show before, and I was somebody told me the other day, they said, you know, I don't know if Danny likes you. And I said, I love my slot receivers. He was low maintenance. He's tougher than a $4 steak. He had great hands, and I've watched every single Patriot snap for 15 years because I spent 11 and a half years in Connecticut, and with my great pleasure, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network, Danny Amendola is on the show. All right, Danny, let's clear the air. Take your shot at me. What did I do?
Buddy, I was sitting in my den one morning after a victory, watching your show. I'm a huge fan of you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And you made a great point that if Tom Brady can win with mediocre scrubs like Danny Amendola,
come on.
I mean, what if he had a good receiver? But Colin, I'm going in my 12th year in the league, and I promise you, I'm a system guy. So, as advertised.
First of all, that you can laugh at that. Now I feel guilty. I will buy any merchandise you put your name on. I will say this though, I do think Belichick would be tough on me. I'm insecure enough where I wouldn't want. He won't compliment Tom. It's system over player. I get it. I got you leaving. I totally get it. $12 million, 2 years, Miami. But I will ask you this, Danny. You went from the winningest.
Yes,
you went from the winningest culture, Danny, to a culture that's had its ups and downs the last 10 years. Did you think about that driving to your agent, talking to your agent? I am leaving probably the best football culture in America.
No question. It's a football factory up there in Foxborough. It's a place where I played my best football. It's a place where I was taught by, you know, some of the best coaches. And I'm very thankful for my opportunity there. Unfortunately and fortunately, I've seen the business side of things in this league. I've been cut twice. You know, I've been picked up off waivers. I've reached unrestricted free agency twice, so I've been you know, through the ringer, so to speak, in this league, and you know, I wanted to keep that business mentality in my career, and I had opportunity to take care of my family, take a contract in Miami, and I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the future and what that's going to bring.
Don't blame you at all, Danny. You've played with a lot of different quarterbacks. I've watched every snap. I know what Tom does well and what he doesn't do well. But take me behind the scenes, the line of scrimmage. What separates Tom from the other really talented guys you've played with in this league?
Just his ability to communicate in the huddle, pre-snap. Even you've seen, I don't know if you've seen a couple of clips, post-snap communication, something that you can't coach. If he's play faking to a running back and then telling him a check down is coming to him, that's a post-snap communication where, you know, that's unheard of. That's uncoachable. So those intangibles that Tom has, he's a student of the game. He's a perfectionist. He's created this lifestyle, this brand around TB12, and it's, you know, it's whether he's driving to work, he wants to be first, or he's playing ping pong, he wants to win, or he's playing in the Super Bowl, he wants to be a champion. So that's what I respect about him, and that's why I look up to him.
You know, Gronk and you were tight, and you know, after you left, and I said this, I felt I was always shocked that Brady and Belichick didn't fight for 18 years. I mean, Kobe and Shaq won 3 titles, and after about 6 years, they wanted to strangle each other. I was always shocked Brady and Belichick, you know, didn't have squabbles. You know, the media said it's bad. Brady and Bill said it's not that bad. Can you admit now that it was pretty tense for a while after the Super Bowl loss? Is that fair?
Well, I wasn't in the building after the loss. I had left, and then that's when I had signed with Miami. But I can tell you firsthand, Coach Belichick coaches Tom just like he coaches every other player. Whether you're an undrafted rookie or you're a Super Bowl MVP, he's going to coach you the same. He wants the best out of you, and he's going to demand that. So he doesn't coach anybody any different.
You know, Danny, when you look at the Rams, they have Aqib Talib, Roby. Those are very physical corners. Marcus Peters. Those are physical corners, and they're very talented. Then they have Donald and Sue and Dante Fowler.
Yep.
Take me to what you think Belichick is thinking going in against this defense with 70-year-old Wade Phillips. Aaron Donald is virtually unblockable. Veteran talented corners. Is it going to be death by a thousand cuts? Can you kind of guess what they're going to do?
They're going to have to control the ball and control Donald that way, whether it's running off guard, off tackle. I think, get the ball out quick, like you said, three-step drop. And just kind of, you saw the opening drive of the Kansas City game. It was like 10, 13 play drive, 90 yards for a touchdown. It's going to take that, some dinking and dunking, and then just, progressively moving the ball down the field, collecting first downs and controlling the clock. I wish I had all the answers, but I'm excited to watch this game just like any other one.
Do you still, because you're close with Tom, you're close with Gronk.
Yep.
I mean, I understand. I mean, it's hard not to when you're part of a family for years. What is your gut feeling on Gronk? I've heard he's smart with his money. I've heard he's put it away.
Oh yeah.
My gut feeling is he's going to move into wrestling or movies. I think he's going to retire, Danny. I really do. He's had a hell of a career. What do you think he does in the next month?
Well, first of all, I hope he balls out this week, and then we get to see a couple of Gronk spikes. But at the end of the day, when you have a one word name like Seal or McLovin or Gronk, like you don't even need to bring your ID through the security line at the airport. I think you could just walk through at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Amendola, you got to work on that, Danny.
I got to work on it.
Well, first of all, you're here on behalf of Genesis, the official luxury vehicle of the National Football League, rolling out a premium experience to current and future fans in Atlanta. So what is Genesis?
Genesis is an amazing car. It's a partnership that I've been with for a few weeks now. I got the opportunity to drive a G70 for the past week. I tell you what, I got it up to about 100 miles an hour on Interstate 95. It can really fly. Don't tell anybody that, but it can really fly, man. It's extreme luxury. It's an amazing. It was the 2019 North American Car of the Year, and I tell you what, there's no secret. It's an awesome car.
Danny Amendola, I love the fact that you watch our show and you're a good sport about it.
Huge fan.
You are always welcome on our show, Danny, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Colin. I appreciate it.
Yep, Danny Amendola, who it should be noted, last year in that Jacksonville game, Gronk got hurt, Edelman was out. Danny Amendola single-handedly, and I'm not joking on this, took apart that Jaguar secondary. How many of you remember that? Gronk was hurt, concussion, Edelman was out, and they just, Danny Amendola ate the Jaguars alive. No more criticizing Amendola.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff from the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I'm talking all football, and this is a big week. Why? Because it's Super Bowl week. We're talking Sean McVay. The dude's up at like 4 in the morning. The Pro Bowl, abomination. Tom Brady says he's never going to retire. John Gruden loves all quarterbacks. We got a lot going on. Again, follow me, John Middlecoff, the 3 and Out podcast.
I agree with the media a lot on a lot of subjects and a lot of topics. I completely disagree with the American sports media on the Rams-Saints controversy. I do not believe it's ever a commissioner's job to talk about officiating. David Stern did not hold a press conference after the Sacramento King Laker debacle in Game 6. And it was a massive story. People thought the NBA was rigged. David Stern did not hold a press conference. Don Dechinger, 95 World Series, I think. Royals, Cardinals, 85, butchered call at first base, changed the World Series. Commissioner didn't run down and hold a press conference. Commissioners should not get into officiating. You have a head of officials. Commissioners, in fact, I've criticized Goodell strongly for his inability to separate when it comes to off-field matters. You should have a panel, a commission. It should be mostly faceless, dealing with situations highly controversial off the field. I don't want my commissioner commenting when a ref butchers a call, which a ref butchered a call. Goodell spoke today in Atlanta and said exactly what I would have said. It's his first public appearance and comment on this. He said, quote, our officials are human. They're not going to get it right every time. Technology is not going to solve all these issues. The game is not officiated by robots. But we will look again at instant replay. Coaches and teams have been very resistant to adding replay for possible penalties not called on the field. That is exactly and precisely what I would have said. He's 100% right. It is not, you're called a micromanager, right? We've all had the boss sometime in my life. I don't now, but I've had a micromanager where they give you a responsibility and then they hover over you constantly. You have a head of officials. That's you got a Mike Pereira. You got a Dean Blandino. It's their job to talk about it. Refs whiff all the time. In that game earlier in the game, the refs whiffed on a face masking penalty against the Saints that would have given the Rams a first and goal. And they would have scored and it had been 24-20, which would have affected the later series on the bad call against the Saints. That one, I disagree with everybody in the media.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Jamal Adams of the Jets just had lunch with Le'Veon Bell's agent. A lot of strong rumors. Jets are going after Le'Veon Bell. TJ Hushmanzada joining us. We've talked about this. If the Rams win the Super Bowl, it's a referendum on free agency and trades work, is it not?
The teams that feel they're a couple pieces away will try to duplicate what the Eagles did and what the Rams did if they are successful this Sunday.
Used to be, TJ, those were the goofy teams. Like the poorly run teams overspent on a corner from Oakland. Now the Rams are like, yeah, get guy. It's almost like the NBA. One-year contracts, bring in Rondo, bring in Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee. It's one-year deal. They can help you win games. It's good. I like it. I've always said the NFL mostly does everything better than the NBA except free agency. The NBA does free agency really, really
it's
well.
It's a blockbuster.
It's better than the regular season. Yeah. March, my gut feeling, the Rams win this game. It's a referendum on spend money on veteran players, Ndamukong Suh, Talib. You know, they may have a little stigma about him, but go get players. By the way, Belichick, without even trying, I think trash talked Tom Brady. I shouldn't say didn't try. He used the word certainly. Do we have the tape on this? So he's talking about Lawrence Taylor. He has no problem saying how great he is. Watch this.
Aaron Donald's a great football player. I wouldn't put anybody ahead of Lawrence Taylor. I can't put anybody ahead of Taylor. Taylor's the best I've ever seen. Certainly the best I've ever coached. And I just wouldn't put anybody ahead of him.
Okay. You laughed when you heard the word certainly.
I laughed because he said he's certainly the best I ever coached. And that was just, don't ask me, is he better than Brady? I'm telling you, he's certainly the best player I ever coached. So don't ask me that. But I've heard Belichick talk like this about LT. He somewhat has a man crush on him where he really respected and respects how great of a player that Lawrence Taylor was.
By the way, Belichick is a bit of a trash talker, you told me.
Yeah, I remember playing him one time. We're playing him. We beat the crap out of him. It was the third preseason game. We smashed him. It was like 30-something to zero at halftime. He took the starters out. Like midway through the second quarter, he was so mad he brought him back in to play the whole game. And so I catch a ball because we came out and played, I think, two series into the third quarter on their sideline. And I said something to somebody. And he like, shut the F up. Get the F out of here.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And it was just like he mumbled it under his breath. So I said what I said. And I just kind of laughed because we were killing him. And then we played them in a regular season that same year, and they beat us.
Did you have a good game?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. I've always played well against, like, the better teams defensively, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Patriots.
Did the Patriots play different than everybody else?
No, with us, it was – they just played us a lot of two-man. two-man coverage, safety help order, top man underneath. And so at that point, that's when it became a slot receiver's game, which it became my game because they were trying to take Chad out of it.
Now, you guys like you made some money.
Yeah, it was easy in the slot, one-on-one with safety help over the top. If you understand the coverage, it's easy to get open.
You know, I would say I don't think this Super Bowl means anything to Belichick and Brady. I think it means everything to the Rams.
I wouldn't take it that far. It means a lot to both teams. It means much more to the Rams because if the Patriots lose, what is everybody going to say? Oh, they'll be back here next year. Oh, Brady's still the best. Oh, Belichick is still the GOAT of all coaches. If the Rams win, just 3 years ago, Jared Goff was a bust. You hire Sean McVay, everybody's like, where does this come from? He lights the league on fire. And then he comes back and does it again. Oh, and he wins the Super Bowl. Oh, and then in 2020, we got our stadium opening up. It will be a story unlike any other. The Patriots, they want to win this. It's not like they don't have a lot to play for. It's just if they lose, everybody's going to pick the Patriots to be right back next year.
Willie McGinnis said something interesting earlier. I said, Willie, if you broke into the league today, knowing what you know about the system over player Patriots and the star empowering Rams, which would you choose? And he said, oh, I'd go Patriots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because you're going to make more money with the Rams. Who would you choose?
I would go Patriots.
Now, see, that to me is crazy.
Because I want structure, me personally.
Me too.
I want structure. I want to know if it's 3rd and 8 and they play this coverage, 100%, this is how the route has to be ran.
So you're thinking the game, not just playing it.
Yeah, I want to be on the – I remember when – I never forget this. I went to Seattle, and we were putting a play in, and I asked Greg Knapp, who was the offensive coordinator, if it's too high, how do we run this route? He was like, just get open. I said, but Matt needs to understand how I'm going to run it based on coverage. It's just get open. And I was like, oh, man, no. Because we need to be on the same page.
Of course.
We're going to practice. If it's one high, we run it this way. If it's too high, we run it this way. But too high can be cover 4 or cover 2. We just got to understand that. And I want the structure. I want the structure of everybody being on the same page, everybody knowing what to expect from each other. That's what I prefer.
Isn't that interesting? Not to call out Greg Knapp. But the gap in coaching in this league, in places with certain coaches, be here then. Seattle, considered well-run, just get open.
But, you know, there's a lot of players that love that.
Yes.
Just get open. Like Chad, he loves that. What I got? Just get open. All right, I'll get open. Like, talent-wise, Chad, top 5 receiver ever to play in the NFL.
Did not work with Brady.
Because Chad is one of those snap the ball, just get open type of guys, and you're not going to cover them. That's just him.
And Brady's the opposite. Here's the spot. I won't throw it until I trust you're there every single time.
100%.
By the way, when Brady is well known for, you know, the combine video, and he's not very athletic, go to your NFL career. When you walk into an NFL locker room, the ones I've been in, these are pro athletes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work out every day. I'm not a pro athlete. These are 6'4". You guys are all cut. Brady, when he walked into this league, did not look like your typical pro athlete. Did you ever play with a guy and you're like, man, that's a bad body? That's a good player.
Oh, man, it's a fueled. I wouldn't say a bad body because nobody is just really just fat. You know, even a lineman, they're big, but they're solidly big. They're not just sloppy fat. For the most part, there's very rarely quarterbacks that were ripped. I don't think I played with one quarterback that was ripped up.
Give me your quarterbacks. Kitna?
Kitna was not ripped up by any stretch of the imagination. Carson was solid.
Carson was an athlete.
But he wasn't ripped up, but he was solid. He was, like, solid, muscular, but not ripped up. Kelly Smith was in Cincinnati. He wasn't ripped up.
He was a great athlete, baseball player, Pittsburgh Pirates draft.
He was muscular, but he wasn't ripped up. Matt Hasselbeck wasn't ripped up. And Flacco and Carson were similarly built.
Yeah.
And that's the quarterback position. You don't want to have too much muscle. You want that body to be loose and fluid.
Thank you. I said this years ago. I always had this theory. I remember years ago, there was a quarterback that came into high school. I'm not going to rip him because he didn't have a good career. He whiffed. And he went to Florida State. And he was a legendary weight room guy. And I remember seeing his traps, because I used to follow recruiting really closely. And he's huge traps. And I'm like, dude, you're in the wrong room. You got to be in the film room, not the weight room. I don't want my quarterbacks to be ripped.
It inhibits the fluidness and the looseness of the throwing in the shoulder, especially up in here. By the way,
Tebow coming into the league, by year two, he became a weight room junkie. Tebow got too big.
Yes.
He did.
It inhibits the natural just fluidness of throwing the ball. That's why there's not one quarterback that you've seen that is just extremely muscular and ripped up. It just doesn't work.
Good seeing you, bud.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Here's something that's been thrown out. I am not suggesting that it's true, nor did I come up with this. Nick Wright, who works at this network, feels that Danny Ainge made a huge gaffe recently. Now, it should be noted, the NBA has been very outspoken against Donald Trump. Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors, trolls him regularly on social media. Greg Popovich trolls him regularly. LeBron James trolls our president regularly. It's an anti-Trump league. They've been outspoken about his policies. They don't want to go to the White House. Like it or not, that I'm just laying it out for you. So Danny Ainge said this recently. He was talking about LeBron, and he said this.
His career's not over. I'd just like to, you know, why he's saying that, I don't know. You know, maybe he thinks that sells. Maybe he's taking the Donald Trump approach, trying to sell himself. I don't know.
Okay, Nick Wright suggested it was a big deal. Surprised more folks didn't seize on it. It's not an exaggeration to say it was one of Danny Ainge's biggest mistakes of his entire tenure. I will say the reason this to me is interesting is because I think Joy can attest to this, having worked with me for 6 months. I don't believe in coincidences, and I don't believe in fate. Most things are scheduled. Most things happen for a reason. If you get hit by a truck, not to be anti-religious, but you basically walked into traffic. I don't think anybody upstairs controlled it. You should probably look both ways. I don't believe in coincidences in business. I've worked at multiple, companies. Things are released. Leaks happen because people want leaks to happen. And Kyrie Irving, before Danny Ainge said that, had was all Celtics. I'm going to resign. I'm very happy here. Danny Ainge said that. And who is the team Danny Ainge hates more than any other? Lakers. Who's the player who's been the personal roadblock to his Celtics last 6-7 years? LeBron. And yet after that Trump comment, Kyrie Irving starts talking Celtics, Lakers, LeBron James, the one thing that would get under Danny Ainge's skin. Secondly, Anthony Davis. Story comes out this week. Anthony Davis comes out and says, I am not interested long-term in New Orleans. Now, within a day or two, 6-7 teams, Knicks, Raptors, Bucks, Lakers, all leaks, they're all interested. Yet one team, remember who represents Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, LeBron's friend, Clutch Sports, a story leaks that Anthony Davis, the Celtics, is not where he wants to go. So I'm supposed to believe Kyrie, who was all in on Boston, post-Ainge Trump quote, just happened to be interested in LeBron and the Lakers, two major arch nemesis to Danny Ainge, and Anthony Davis, of all the organizations, he's more interested in Toronto and Milwaukee than he is Boston. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's interesting.
It's something to discuss, but I feel like it's a bit old. LeBron is very, very vocal when he feels like some, especially when it comes to Trump things. So I think this is settled as far as LeBron and Ainge goes.
You do now, think it is?
Yeah. Now other players may be looking at it like, because we know Dan Gilbert, support of Trump,
did not
was
go
rumored
over.
To have a big part in why LeBron wasn't comfortable there anymore and had a huge problem with it. So other players looking at it maybe, but
it just feels like it could be something, not everything.
Well, when it comes to NBA free agency, we will follow any breadcrumb available.